So today, I'm going to step down as the president.
Folks, welcome to the Basketball Podcast. I am so excited for this episode. This episode was going to be my picks for end of the year awards, and it still will be. We'll still talk about that. But I can't wait to get into the Magic Johnson story. I can't wait to get into this. This is, oh my gosh. I'm not going to spoil anything. Let's jump into it. We're going to talk end of the year awards, my picks, and it's going to be quick because, again, this is the Basketball Podcast. If you want real analysis of all of this, if you really want to evaluate the numbers and the PER and the WHIP and the ERA, whatever it is that you evaluate in basketball, if you really want to do that, listen to someone else. You're listening to the wrong show. There's plenty of other podcasts out there. In this episode, we're going to talk about the awards from a true fan's perspective. Not from an analyst. Not from some statistician. No. From me. Me. But then, most importantly, we are going to talk about Irvin Magic Johnson and the absolute brilliance of this whole situation. I am steaming with excitement just to talk about this. I haven't talked about it yet. I'm so excited. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Basketball Podcast. All right, so here we go. Let's get into the awards. I've got six awards I'm going to evaluate. MVP, Coach, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man, Most Improved Player. Not necessarily in that order. I'll check them off as I go. I'm not going to do Executive of the Year. I understand that that's an end-of-the-year award. I'm not going to do that because I couldn't even name all of the different executives in the NBA. If you could name the executives in the NBA that are up for this award, send me an email. Prove it. I don't believe that you even know who these executives are. There's no reason for me to evaluate them. So here we go. Let's start with MVP. Let's just get this out of the way. I had a podcast back in January, February. I don't remember when it was. It was basically titled, Why Giannis Will Never Win MVP. And in that, if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and listen to it. Subscribe, like my podcast. But listen to that one. In that, I specifically say Giannis will never win an MVP because he can't have that Kodak-type moment. And it's all about who finishes the season. And what I was referring to there is Giannis had started the season really strong and he was really hyped up. And then James Harden went on an absolute tear throughout the season, scoring 30 or more points over 30 times in a row, 30 games in a row. He's averaged like 37 points a game, something that hasn't been done since like Kobe or MJ, something crazy like that. I mean, he's had an incredible offensive year, and he's not bad defensively. But that podcast was the day after James Harden hit a dagger three against the Warriors on the road in a crazy game. And I basically said, James Harden's going to continue to have these moments, and he's going to outshine Giannis. But, of course, how could I have – I can't believe – I'm falling victim to my own poison here because I basically said in that podcast it's all about who finishes the season on top based on who the media talks about. And it came full circle. Giannis was the topic at the beginning of the year. James Harden was the topic throughout the year. And then somehow Giannis has come back around and is now the topic. He had a monster game against Philadelphia like a week ago where he was – essential to them winning. He had some tremendous defensive stops. He had like over 40 points. I mean, he played phenomenally. And I think that he's going to get the last laugh. And I think he's going to win the MVP. I think it's one of those scenarios where, well, we have to give it to Giannis because of his stats, because he's the best player on the best team. And I don't disagree with it. Throughout the year, in the middle of the year, I really felt like Harden had it locked down. And because of how well the Bucks have continued to play, because of how well Giannis has played, and of course he had one of those Kodak moments, Heisman moment, however you want to put it, he had one here at the end of the year. I think he's shifted it. I think he's going to be MVP. I think he deserves MVP. I think they both honestly could be an MVP. I mean, these are both stellar years that they're having. Two tremendous players. If either one won it, it would be acceptable in my mind. If I was voting, I would vote for Giannis. I would vote Harden a close second. I think they're both deserving very much, but Giannis will probably win it. So that's exciting because Giannis is a phenomenal player. He's young. The Bucks are the best team in the league. It's interesting to see how this momentum will carry over into the playoffs, especially if he wins MVP, which I'm pretty sure they don't even announce MVP until after the season. I don't remember. Like, you find out the finals MVP before you find out the season MVP anymore. I don't remember. Who cares? Next! Rookie of the Year. Is this even a debate? Do I have to get into this? It's Luka Doncic. Don't even say Trae Young. Don't even say Trae Young. It's Luka. Yes, Trae Young has had arguably better stats post All-Star break. He's had arguably better numbers, but Luka is the better player. I don't want to necessarily look at stats all the time, and that's why I don't get into stats in this. I get into who's the better player. Who do I enjoy watching more? Who should be Rookie of the Year? And it's not Trae Young. It's Luka. Luka captured the whole NBA for like 3 months. Like, it was like Luka was more popular than LeBron James this year, in my opinion. I mean, it's Luka. He's the Rookie of the Year. He's going to be a better player. I like Trae Young. At least I've liked his season, especially after the All-Star break. But he's still not. He's shooting like 36% from three. Like, if you come into the league and you're the next Steph Curry, you shouldn't be shooting 36% from three. Like, you should be shooting 42% from three, like Steph Curry. So, he had expectations. He was supposed to be really good. He was, I think we, the media, everyone had too high of expectations for him. I mean, he was dubbed the next Steph Curry. Like, that's hard to fill those shoes. I don't think Luka had quite as high of expectations. I think he surprised a lot of people with how good he's been. He's definitely the MVP, or the Rookie of the Year. He's definitely Rookie of the Year. He's the MVP. He's the Rookie of the Year. He's the MVP of rookies. All right, next award, sixth man. Lou Williams is the sixth man of the year. Next award, most improved player. I don't know. Who knows this? Like Pascal Siakam. I have not watched a single Toronto game all year. How am I supposed to know if this guy is any better? Basically, most improved player, it feels like most improved player every year is either a guy that you'd never heard of, and then he starts getting minutes, and oh, he's actually pretty good. Like, it's not like Pascal Siakam was getting 30 minutes a game last year. But here he is, most improved player. I have no clue. I'll say him just because he is getting really good numbers. He's had some, from what I've seen on YouTube highlights, he's had some really good games this year. I'll put him just because he has a cool nickname also, Spicy P. Pascal Siakam, congratulations. You have won the Most Improved Player Award from the Basketball Podcast. I didn't know who you were until this year, but whatever. Defensive Player of the Year, another one that no one cares about until the end of the year. The only time that people even bring up Defensive Player of the Year is when they're trying to argue whether a player was better than another player. I don't know who's Defensive Player of the Year. How do you even judge that? Is the guy competent? Does he have a good stance? Like, you can argue steals, blocks. That's good. Those are good statistics to qualify it. So, Paul George, I think, is still leading the league in steals. So, it's good. Miles Turner is still leading the league in blocks. You can look at plus minus. How better was the team when the player was on the court? What was their defensive net rating? I don't know all that. I'm not going to vote Paul George, and here's why. There was a specific moment this year. There were two specific moments that happened this year. One of them is when Kawhi Leonard backed him down and gave him a sideways eye, like, bro, you can't handle this. And then he shot right over him and scored. You can't lock down Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is a transcendental player. He's a great player. But if you're Defensive Player of the Year, like, lock him down. And that moment that was captured on video, that automatically disqualified Paul George from being Defensive Player of the Year. And then, just to put icing on the cake, last night against the Houston Rockets, there was a moment where Paul George, supposed to be guarding P.J. Tucker, and P.J. Tucker catches the ball on the wing and shoots a three. And instead of Paul George running after him, Paul George does this thing where he, like, waves his arm at him, like, nah, shoot it, you ain't gonna make it. And he didn't make it. But the fact that that's your defense, if you're Defensive Player of the Year and that's the decision you make on defense, there's no way. I can't vote you Defensive Player of the Year if that's how seriously you take defense. Go guard someone. So Defensive Player of the Year, I don't know. I'll just say Miles Turner because I'm a Pacers fan and because he's leading the league in blocks. Congratulations, Miles Turner. Let's be clear. No one cares about those awards. The only awards that people really care about are MVP, Rookie of the Year, and maybe Coach of the Year. So let's get into Coach of the Year because this is one I just want to spend a minute talking about this. So I've seen a lot of folks that have said Doc Rivers should be Coach of the Year. He's getting a lot of votes from people in the media and on Twitter, and it's like one of those trendy things. Oh, we should vote Doc because... oh, this is like, I'm an analyst. I know a lot about the NBA and about basketball. And Doc Rivers really should be Coach of the Year. He really should be. No, he hasn't won the most games. No, they're the eighth seed in the West. No, they've only won five more games than they won last year. But he should be Coach of the Year. Folks, let me tell you right now, that is fake news. Doc Rivers should not be Coach of the Year. The argument that a lot of people have been making is this roster isn't that good. It's so surprising they've won 47 games this year with this roster. This roster isn't that good. And I will give you this roster isn't great, but it's not a bad roster. Lou Williams is an all-star. The only reason he's not an all-star is because he's a bench player and because he's not a household name. He is among the NBA, but he's not a household name to people that aren't NBA fans. Danilo Gallinari is a great basketball player when he's healthy. And he's been healthy for most of this year. Patrick Beverley is a great player when he's healthy. Not a great player. He's a solid role player for you when he's healthy. And he's been healthy. Montrezl Harrell is a solid role player for you. And he's been healthy. Like, they've had tremendous health. They've got a solid core that can go out and play basketball. Zubac, that they got at the trade deadline, has been nice for them. I don't want to say, like, oh, that's a great move by them. I mean, they were trying to dump Cap. Like, they were trying to dump Cap when they got him, so it's not like they were... I mean, he's a young asset that they can take a shot on that no one else wants. It's a good decision by them, and he's played well for them. They had Tobias Harris for a majority of the year, and he's a good scorer. He's a solid scorer. He's not a franchise player, which Philadelphia will soon find out, but he's a good player. He's been good in the NBA. He's a good scorer. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a rookie. Landry Shamet is a rookie. They got him at the trade deadline for Tobias Harris. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has played decent this year. He's played pretty solid for them. He's a pretty steady point guard, and we knew that. Like, it was a good pick for them when they picked him 12th or 13th, whenever they picked him this past year, because he's steady. He's not going to go out and get 25 a game and 15 assists. He's steady. He can get you 8-4. And he's a good defender. He's long. All I'm trying to say is they've got a good core of players. They won 42 games last year. It's not that big of a surprise that they've won 47 to me. Like, 47 is an accomplishment, but are we really going to give Coach of the Year to Doc Rivers because he won 47 games and because he barely made the playoffs? Is that what we're doing? Especially when the Bucks won 60 games this year. Budenholzer turned Giannis into the MVP. I'm not saying that Giannis wasn't an MVP caliber player, but Budenholzer came in and figured it out for the Bucks because they had been screwed by Jason Kidd and the other turd that was their coach and their interim coach. I mean, it's not rocket science that Giannis should get the ball every time, but Budenholzer should get the credit for being the best coach this year. He's got a great roster, but they've won 60 games, and he should get that credit. I think Budenholzer's coach of the year. I mean, he's transformed this Bucks team into an actual contender. And I don't think anyone ahead of the season really said, wow, the Bucks are easily going to be a contender. Everyone said, well, this is a good hire for them. We'll see what happens. Can Giannis do what Giannis can do? And yeah, Giannis can. And Budenholzer has unleashed the Bucks. They've won 60 games this year. It's exciting. He should be coach of the year. Budenholzer's coach of the year, not Doc Rivers. Come on, folks. Doc Rivers, that's it. Those are my picks. Here we go. Giannis for MVP. Mikey Budenholzer, coach of the year. Luka, rookie of the year. Miles Turner, defensive player of the year, just because I don't know. Sixth man, Lou Williams, of course. And most improved player, Spicy P. That's it for the awards. Now let's jump into this whole Magic Johnson thing. I am excited for this. We got to talk about this whole Magic Johnson thing. Magic Johnson, president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers, announced yesterday that he will be stepping down from his position. But he actually didn't tell his boss, the owner, Jeannie Buss, that he was going to be doing this. He held an impromptu press conference and just announced it to the media. He didn't tell his boss he told everyone else he was quitting. On national TV, he told everyone he was quitting, but he hadn't yet told his boss. Magic Johnson straight up woke up yesterday and said, man, I don't want to do this anymore, and just decided he wasn't going to do it and just quit. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what's happening to the Los Angeles Lakers. This was a tweet that I read from Adrian Wojnarowski, also known as Woj, the infamous Woj. He tweeted this yesterday. He said, Lakers coaching staff fully expected to be fired in hours after the final game of the season. They had believed they were gone for months. Now, Magic quits in public, saying he's too scared to tell Jeannie Buss face-to-face. What an embarrassing episode for a historic franchise. I couldn't have said it any better, Woj. It's like you took the words right out of my mouth. I have no idea what's happening in Lakerland. It's hilarious to watch. This is better than Space Jam. It's better than what Space Jam 2 will be. Just watching the soap opera that is the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't even know if I have words for this. My analysis of this is that Magic Johnson is a baby. He's a big old baby. I think it's the funniest. It's just so funny the way that this all happened. I was watching an interview that Rachel Nichols did with him afterwards. Like, she was interviewing him in the tunnel of Staples Center. And she was like, how do you feel? And he's like, I feel great. I feel great. I'm good. I'm happy again. It's like, what are you doing? You just quit on national TV. You just threw your whole franchise under the bus. You didn't even tell your boss. And he was like, I gotta get back to being me. I just can't. I'm not happy. It's like, what? I'm so confused about what Magic Johnson thought this job was. I don't think there were a lot of times over the last year and a half where Magic has done some stuff that's like, Magic, man, you're kind of crossing the line there. You know, that's tampering, buddy. Or, man, you're not really supposed to do that as president of basketball operations. And I think we and like fans and certainly the media, they played it off as, wow, he's really toeing the line. He's very engaged and very active and really toeing the line. He's really trying to sell the brand. And now I'm looking at this and I'm like, that dude didn't even know what he was doing. I don't think he really understood tampering. I think he was tampering and then he was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, I'm not supposed to go on Jimmy Kimmel and say that I was talking to Paul George and give this obnoxious wink to the crowd. I can't do that because that's tampering. Yes, you can't do that. I genuinely believe he didn't understand his job. And I think Jeannie Buss went to him and said, man, we got to figure out this coaching thing. What are you going to do? And he went home and said, oh, I have to make this decision. This is my job. This is my job. I'm supposed to make personnel decisions. And when he realized that he was probably going to have to fire Luke Walton, he quit. Without telling his boss. Does it even count as quitting if you don't actually tell your boss? Like, he didn't tell his boss. Everyone else told her. It's amazing. I give this quitting story. This is a 10 out of a 10. 10 out of 10 quitting story. An absolute infamous quitting story. This Showtime is back, baby. Showtime is back. It's soap opera time in Lakerland. Showtime is back. Thank you, Magic, for making this whole NBA season. This is the icing on the cake for the regular season. Magic Johnson quitting at the end of the regular season on national TV without telling his boss. I love it. Thank you, Magic, for this wonderful send-off to the 2018-2019 NBA season. That's it for this episode of the Basketball Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Subscribe. Share this with your friends, with your family, with your pastor, with your Uber driver, with your probation officer. Share it with everyone. We need to get the word out that the Basketball Podcast is back. We're live. We're active. We're bringing new content every week. We've got an episode coming out before the playoffs. Stay tuned for that. If you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe, like it, share it with your friends, with your family, with your probation officers. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Podcast.